Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Isaiah 49 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Tonight we're going to continue with our prophetic truths of the Hebrew alphabet, and we're going to be talking about the letter Kaf. It is a powerful, powerful teaching. So let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this wonderful, wonderful evening that you've given to us. We pray that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will continue to bear fruit and operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So let's recap the last letter, the 10th letter. And let's talk about Yod. Everybody say Yod. Some people pronounce it Yud, but I have a habit of saying Yod. Yod meant what? Can anybody remember what Yod meant? It's been a month, it seems like. But it means your arms are raised. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter. It's one of my favorite letters. We learned that the first prophetic truth about Yod, and it should be on your screen, is it's the mystery of this letter suspended in midair. And so that's what's so incredible, that it's on its own, it's like the earth being suspended in our universe. This letter is suspended. It's a mystery behind that. The reason it is because it is the smallest of all the Hebrew letters. You can come to me, Caleb. It is the smallest of all the Hebrew letters. And it's known, this letter Yod is known as the atom of the consonants and form of how all letters begin and how all letters end. In fact, rabbis teach that the first dot, which describes first starting to write, like you're beginning to write, say, "I'm beginning to write this letter on this board," the very first dot is that letter Yod, the first starting letter. And then when you take your pencil, your pen, whatever you're writing with, your marker, and you take it up, it is also the last dot that gives a letter its final form. And that is what's so incredible about the power of God's word. And so since Yod represents a dot, it is considered this, the divine point of energy. It is the atom. It is the structure of all things. Hebrews 11:3 says this. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed." How were the worlds framed? By the word of God. "So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." How many of you can see atoms? We can't see that because it's so small, but we can see what it's formed, right? And that's what's so powerful about God's word. Number two, we learned the second prophetic truth about Yod, and it'll be on your screen, is the picture of humility. Think about this. Yod is the smallest of all Hebrew letters, signifying the picture, the true picture of true humility. Number three, we learned that the third prophetic truth about the letter Yod is the value of 10. Remember, in the Hebrew alphabet or Aleph Bet, each letter has a numerical value. And so Yod has the value of 10. The number 10 is an important number throughout Scripture. It is seen in completion. It's also seen, 10 is also seen in order. You have 7 that we say, well, that's completion. 8 is new beginnings. 5 is grace. 3 is Trinity. 40 is testing. And we can go on and on. But this is what's so important about 10. There were 10 things created the first day, and 10 things created at the end of the sixth day. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noah and from Noah to Abraham, suggesting that godliness of those generations were complete. There were 10 plagues of Egypt. There are how many commandments? 10 commandments. In fact, the tithe is the 10th part. As the Bible says, that is holy. Somebody say holy. The tithe is a holy part of the Lord that's given to the Lord. There are 10 days of awe when you come to the fall feast of Israel. There's 10 days of awe, which are these holy days of Israel that ends in Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So that's incredible how God calculates this and puts this together. Number four, we learned the fourth prophetic truth about Yod is the divine name of God. Yod is the first letter of Yahweh, right? And we say it's Yod Heh Vav Heh, those letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the first letter of Yeshua, which is the Hebrew word for Jesus, or Hebrew name for Jesus, which indicates its preeminence. The pictograph of Yod, again, is the picture of an arm that is raised and reaching toward heaven. Everybody reach your arms toward heaven. That is a sign of surrender. I'm reaching my arms to heaven, to God, to Yod Heh Vav Heh. And I believe that's what God is saying. I believe that would be the practical application, Pastor Carl, what God is saying. He says, reach up and trust God with your life. Surrender, right? Surrender to God. Reach up and trust Him. Psalms division 119 and verse 73 says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And so I reach toward God because God is my creator. I trust in the creator. We should always trust in the creator. He's the one that's made us, right? And so we should trust in His workmanship. God created me. He fashioned me. So I trust that He is more than able to restore and repair me. I remember I've had several vehicles, you know, and I remember there were certain vehicles that I had to restore and repair, and I enjoy doing that because it's just amazing. But see, it's like this golf cart that I bought, you know, really, really cheap. And golf carts right now are very popular, especially the electric ones. I bought it really, really cheap, and I put some time. I didn't know anything about the golf cart. Sister Charlotte, I had no idea. I'm not an electrician. I'm not a mechanic. I had no idea. So I just went on YouTube and I began to learn. I began to read. I began to try to figure this out. I got that thing going. I had the motor. I had everything put together. And now I know if something goes wrong with that golf cart, I can back because I've worked on it. That's how God is with us. If we need repaired and we need help, what do? We go to God. Sometimes we go running to somebody else, right? But we should always first seek the Lord. This next letter, our 11th letter, Kaf, our scripture was Isaiah 49 and verse 16. It's right here. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. It said, behold, I have graven thee. Think about what that word graven means. I have engraved thee, like your name on a plaque or a trophy. I have graven thee, but this is what is interesting. I have engraven thee on thy hands, on my hands. He has wrote. Anybody ever cheat in school? We're in a church. Don't be lying. We all have. And what did we want to do? We want to write answers. How many ever wrote your answer on your palm? Right? Write your answer on the palm of your hand. Think about it. That's what God is doing. He says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. So Kaf, this 11th letter right here, the 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet or the Hebrew alphabet, it is so interesting. I love this idea that God gives. It is the symbol of a palm. But also, which I didn't draw it up here, maybe I should have, it's also the symbol of a wing, okay? So you have a palm, and you have everybody take your hands out and just look at your palms right now. Now, I am not, what do they call those people? Fortune tellers, is what they call them? Palm readers, is that what they call them? And they want to look at your hands and tell you everything, you know, about love, about romance, about finance, right? They give you all this, you know, anyway. But this is what's so interesting. If we were to look at the pre-Canaanite drawing, this would be before Moses. That's what the letter Kaf would look like. Now, if we were in with Moses, was hanging around with Moses, I saw a funny meme. If Moses had a cell phone, he would have taken a selfie or an ussie of everybody walk, or I don't know if they were walking, but crossing the dry ground of the Red Sea. But this would be Moses. This is what it looks like. That looks a little interesting, doesn't it? It doesn't look anything like the modern letter of Kaf. It looks a little different. So you have pre-Canaanite, then you have the Moses time, and then you have this one that looks a little different, kind of similar to Moses, and that would what David would have saw for the letter Kaf. Now this one here that Moses has, I love this thought, Sister Crystal. It symbolizes, it looks kind of like a wing. If you would look at a bird, you would say, hey, this is kind of the bone structure of a wing. That's interesting because if you'll read what Psalms talks about in Moses writing Psalms 91, you learn a little bit about Moses' love for the shadow of God's wing. How many want to be covered by the shadow of God's wing? I do. I want to find refuge and I want to find help and strength there. And so the first prophetic truth about the letter Kaf. Now, this is getting a little deep, but I want to kind of explain myself through this. Stay with me if you can. The first prophetic truth about the letter Kaf is potential actualized. Everybody say potential. You are packed with potential. Since the literal meaning of Kaf is palm, which is considered the location where potential of the hand is actualized. And so when God looked at Sister Charlotte, when God looked at Moses, and Moses is there and he says, I don't know how I'm going to be able to lead 3 million of these Hebrews. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do all these things and stand in front of Pharaoh. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, when crisis and chaos comes or when I'm having conflicts. What does God tell him? God says to him, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? What is in the palm of your hand? Some of you are so gifted. God has given you so much potential and gifts, and it's in your hands. Think about that. It's potential actualized. It is what God has given us. And so when you look at that, you think, well, thank God for his gifts that he gives us and the strength that he gives. The hands is always a symbol of working. How many of you work with your hands? Yeah? It's important, right? And so there's a reason, though, when we begin to pray. Have you ever heard the scripture? I know you have. Lay hands with praying, right? You lay hands on them and you're praying. Some people want to lay hands on people without praying, but it's neither here nor there. But that's what we do. And the reason we bless, you see me when I do the Aaronic Kohanim blessing, you see me, I raise my hand. The reason we bless and pray for one another with our palms facing them, facing that person, you have an altar call and somebody's putting their hand on your head, however it may be. The reason we do that is we are envisioning God having his palms over us or over them. Not to say that we're God, but that's just the way God has orchestrated things. And it's incredible that we understand that. It is the latent power of the Spirit of God manifesting in the physical world. That's God's power. Think about that. I love some of these new sci-fi shows that come out. I know my children love the Avengers. And I remember when Levi was younger, he wanted to be Iron Man. And I think he ended up being the Hulk, and then Caleb became Iron Man, and they had their little costumes. And Caleb would run around. It's okay, Caleb, if I tell this story. Caleb was just a little child. Levi had that big fist like Hulk, and he was punching everything. But Caleb would have his little palm out like Iron Man. And what did Iron Man do? He had the ability to shoot some kind of, I don't know, energy blast. Some of us nerds probably know a little more than I do about it. Out of his hand, right? What you think about God, his workmanship and his power? That's incredible. And now let's look at this number two. Number two, it helps us a little more because I think it will give us an idea. Here it is of the practical usage of this letter Kaf. The second prophetic truth about the letter Kaf is this: is spiritual focus and concentration. I was talking to my children yesterday, and I asked them, I said, have you ever wondered why bowling alleys don't have windows? How many has ever went bowling? We need to take them youth bowling, Pastor Carl. Take them teens bowling. Show me what you got. Take them teens bowling. And so, if you ever notice, and I thought about it, I have these thoughts sometimes. I'm by myself, and I'm thinking, and I said, well, why don't bowling alleys have windows? You know, I mean, when you enter into a bowl, of course, there's windows, but why don't they? Well, the reason is, what they figured out, that if they have a line of windows, the bowlers, number one, will be distracted. They're going to be bowling, and they're going to see somebody walking down there, or see a car racing down there, and they're not going to be focused. Number two is that, it, like Pastor Crystal said yesterday, it lets in all of this ambient light that we don't need. And if there's too much light coming in, you're not be able to see the focus. This is what's so interesting about this letter Kaf, is spiritual focus and concentration. Has anybody ever had some difficulty lately concentrating or even focusing? Right? This Hebrew word, kavana, and it's K-A-V-V-A-N-A-H. It begins with this letter kaf. Kavana begins with kaf. And it means, you know what kavana means? It means spiritual focus and concentration. That's what we need, again, in the church. You know, I know we come to worship the Lord and we're raising our hands and we're trying to worship. And then you get distracted, right? You're looking around. You're looking at your watch. The worst distraction ever created is this right here. Is this phone, right? And so, I mean, we need that. Listen to what Paul says to Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So did you get what that said at the very end? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so there's some things that we've got to do. We've got to focus. Number three, the third prophetic truth about the letter Kaf is found, just like God said, in the palms of God's hands. This is so beautiful. Isaiah 49 and 16, it said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You know, there's nothing more secure than knowing that you are in the palms of God's hands. That's where I want to be. It's just like I said last week. I said at Brother Roy's going, you know, funeral, it's a memorial service. I said, hey, you're in good hands. In the hands of God, you are in good hands. That's where I want to be. Number four, this is interesting because you're going to find something that's really helpful. Number four is the third prophetic truth about the letter Kaf is found in the palms of our hands. Do you think about this? Listen to what Lamentations 3 and verse 41, a book that we do not preach out of very much. But it says, let us lift up our hearts with somebody, our hands unto God in the heavens. Is that on there? Is Lamentations on there? It's not. Lamentations 3, 41 is not on there. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Oh, man, that's awesome. Look at that scripture. That's so beautiful. Lift up holy hands. Lift up our heart with our hands. This cough is found in the palms of our hands. Psalms 119 and verse 48, it says this. And I think our computer's having some trouble, isn't it? Psalms 119 verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up to thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So there's nothing more secure than knowing that when I'm in trouble, anybody ever been in trouble? There is deliberate assigned devils trying to stir trouble up in people's lives. I mean, it's happening all over. But when I'm in trouble, I can lift up my hands to the heavens and trust in God. It's just as simple as when Peter was walking on the water. You remember the Bible story, Peter? He's walking on the water with Jesus. And what happened? Peter began to get distracted. He wasn't concentrating. He didn't have that kavana going on. He wasn't concentrating. He was unfocused. He looked at the result of the wind crashing the waves. He began to sink. And what happened? He cried for the Lord to save him. And Jesus reached out with what? His hands, palm of his hands, and helped him do the impossible. Isaiah 59 and 1, and this is so important. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That one, when I was 19 years old and I began evangelizing, going in my little old car, beat up car that Mark and Melissa sold to me for like $300. I drove that little car all over Central Arkansas, and I'd preach these little churches, and that scripture was one of the very first scriptures I learned, that I could call on God. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So how do I apply this to my life? Well, let's look at this. Isaiah 49 and 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of thy hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So the best way, and you can come back to me, Caleb, the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to view this letter Kaf in its ancient form and proclaim its biblical truth. Now remember, when we talked about pictographs, we talked about which it would be, you know, looking something like this, 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 those three. When we talked about pictographs, we got to remember this, that a pictograph is simply a symbol or a sign of a letter of a word. So when they would draw things, that was more of a symbol, a sign for the letter of this word or a word. And it's important to know when we're teaching this that Hebrew word pictures do not replace, they do not define, they do not limit scripture. Okay? All the reason I use these pictures that I draw is to help illustrate the scripture. Okay? It's not replacing scripture, it's illustrating. And I think God is helping us with this. And so you have this picture of Kaf. It's a picture of a palm, it's a picture of a wing. And what is so, I think, amazing about this Hebrew letter Kaf, this 11th letter, I find so amazing, is that it is the first letter for the word Kippur. K-I-P-U-R. Anybody know what this Hebrew word Kippur means? It means to forgive. To forgive. This pictograph tells us that forgiveness comes when, instead of pronouncing judgment, we take this hand, and I try to do my hand. Well, see, that's my wedding ring. Take this hand. Are you ready? What do? This is the picture. Instead of pronouncing judgment, we take that hand and we cover our mouths with the palms of our hand instead. See, what happens is when somebody comes and offends me or somehow ruffles my feathers, makes me angry and stuff, the first thing I need to do is cover my mouth instead of judging that person and being critical. Boy, that helps me, doesn't it? That's a beautiful thought. Look at your neighbor and say, and I want you to do this. Look at your neighbor, put your palm over your mouth and say, sweet potato pie, and shut my mouth. And what is the second picture is a wing. And this would be something like Moses drew, what David kind of drew, a wing. A wing illustrates God covering us with his wings. I mean, this is so incredible. You know, the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear him. And I think one of the lessons that we're learning here the last couple of weeks, the last week, is slow down and stay in the will of God. We got to be so cautious in these last days. The devil will do anything he can do to try to cause us to panic, cause us to fear, cause us to operate out of our own strength and our own motion. But I'm telling you, we need, and I'm talking to myself, I've had battle after battle the last 3 days, battle after battle. You have no idea the things that I've been through. I've not been able to walk the last 2 days. I'm doing a lot better than I was. I was so dizzy. Sunday afternoon, I was so dizzy. It was just like it all just caught up. I don't know where it came from. And it's just the way things happen. I'm kind of encouraged by this because I talked with Janie's mother the other day. I talked with Sister Janie's mother, and she was telling me she had vertigo. And she was just describing everything that I have been going through. And she said, I know you've been going through the same thing. She said, when I wake up in the morning, it hits me. It's so hard. And my doctor told me I just need to fight it. She said, that's what I do. I just fight it. She said, it's just, there's no cure. There's nothing really to, she said she went to therapy, just like I went to therapy, physical therapy. She said it didn't help. And she said, it's just amazing. So I find out that people are facing the same things. Probably is not as bad as I've been facing it, but they've been facing the same things. And it tells me that God loves us. He cares for us. And I'm not in this alone. You are not in what you're going through alone. Everything you're facing right now, you're not alone. And that's why God's wings are so huge when He covers us and He helps us. I was 19, Dalen. I was 19 years old. And I just surrendered to preach. And I preached my first message on my birthday, June 21st, 1991. My very first real message, I preached it on my birthday. It's just amazing how that worked out. And I remember going to revivals. I met Crystal and going to all these revivals. And come about November, I had a family crisis with my older brother. And had a family crisis with my younger brother and my sister. It was just a crisis all over the place. I was so discouraged with what I was facing. And my mom and my stepdad, Brother Hicks, they had this cabin. And didn't have any electricity, didn't have any heat, running water. And with everything that was going on, I was just like, I can't go up there into that little trailer house and stay with them. I just got to isolate myself. And I'll never forget, I went down and I was just real discouraged and alone. And I began to sit at the piano. I had my church clothes. I was sleeping in my church clothes. And in November, it was so cold. And this cabin was beautiful because it was right over a little waterfall. And it was so cold down there, though. But I sat at the piano and I was just discouraged. And I said, God, I want to write a song. And I opened up my Bible. At the time I had a Jack Van Empe Bible. And I opened up that Bible to Psalms chapter 17 and verse 8. And I wrote the song Shadow. Psalms 17 and verse 8. It's on your screen. It says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under shadow of thy wings. That song, because of what I was facing, my older brother had stolen my stepdad's van. He took it off to, you come to me, Caleb. He took it off to Oklahoma. My younger brother was in an affair with a pastor's wife at the church I was attending. My younger sister had gotten pregnant and she wasn't married. So it seemed like my whole world was collapsing. And I just looked at that verse and I began to write that song. It's amazing what God can do when you go through some trials and tests. He can produce so much out of you. Maybe tonight the only peace and joy that you find is working with your hands. Maybe that's the only time that you can find some rest, escape, if you will. Not that you're trying to escape everything, but you're working, you're busy. That was me. I was playing the piano with my hands, and God was blessing, and He was honoring me. Tonight, let's stand together in this room. What if we all determined to put our trust in the palms of God's hands? I can't tell you why things happen the way they happen, but I can tell you we got to be so close to God in these last days. We got to stay in His Word. We got to continue being faithful. We got to continue to pray. But what if we all determine I'm going to put my trust in the palms of God's hands? How's that going to affect us? How's that going to affect your family, your job? How's it going to affect you or wherever you're at school? What about the church? How's it going to affect us if we will continue to say, hey, God, it's in your hands? Or even this community. Communities are facing so much devastation. reading all these communities around in the south because of the tornadoes and the things that are happening. But I saw people coming together. I saw people saying, hey, we're going to rebuild. Hey, we're going to come together. We're going to help one another. But things get a lot worse than we can imagine. What if China just says, hey, you can do 104% tariffs on us, but we're going to invade Taiwan. I have a missionary friend from China that said, and by the way, she's not from China. I'm not going to say anything else about that. But the news is that China was going to surround Taiwan and start a war. That would be a terrible thing if that happened, if China began a war in Taiwan, because that would drag the United States into a war. And then Russia would start a war with a NATO country, and that would drag us into a war with Russia and Ukraine and everything that's going on. And then you just leave Israel so isolated, and people can't stand it. And not to mention the physical wars that are going on with the countries, but the racial wars that are happening in our nation as well. So we need to find ourselves in the palms of God's hand. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for keeping us as an apple of thine eye, hiding us under the shadow of your wings. And that's where we want to be. That's where we desire. We're hungry for your presence, and we desire for you to wrap your loving arms around us, Father. We give you the glory, and we give you all the honor.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.